Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Low in the lower 70s, and for tomorrow, Memorial Day, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, but mostly sunny and the high in the lower 90s. Right now, 81 degrees in Nashville at 9 o'clock.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, Public Radio's word game, where the fairness and difficulty of questions often seems ungoverned.
You know, I could make these really nasty if I wanted to.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Sure.
There's a couple of them in here that are ugly.
But yeah, I'll get them over with.
Yeah, before they get to you, right?
Yeah.
You're the one that's going to get booed anyway.
That's right. And you say that like it's a bad thing.
It's a game that requires participants to dig deep in the lexicon to look for every linguistic clue imaginable.
There's that thing, a tisket, a tasket, a green and yellow basket. Is a tisket a real word? If so, maybe it's related to the freckle.
That was a big help.
So come join this week's San Francisco audience as they experience grammatical triumph, except syntactical shortcomings.
But I find this to be an unusually honest audience, the fact that so few people would lie about knowing it.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The United Nations is demanding that Syria stop using heavy weapons in populated areas after the killing of more than 90 people in the town of Hula. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says President Bashar al-Assad must end what she calls his rule by murder. The BBC's Jim Muir says the Syrian government is blaming armed terrorist gangs.
Syrian state TV has been highlighting what it admits was a terrible massacre at Hula, but it's blaming the carnage on Al-Qaeda extremists and non-Syrian Arab nationals, who it said infiltrated the area to perpetrate killings and crimes. It carried interviews with local people in the Hula area, reinforcing that version of events. That's unlikely to impress the regime's opponents in Hula itself. They say they were appealing to the UN observers to intervene even as the killing was taking place. They have no doubt that it was the work of government forces and of pro-regime militias known as Shabiha, drawn from nearby Alawite villages.
The BBC's Jim Muir reporting. In Afghanistan, NATO says it's investigating claims that one of its airstrikes killed 8 members of a family in the eastern part of the country. Local officials say the dead include at least 6 children. Civilian casualties, a major source of friction between NATO and Afghan President Hamid Karzai. Also, NATO says today 4 of its service members have been killed this weekend in separate roadside bomb attacks. Officials in New Mexico say the massive wildfire burning in the Gila National Forest now covers more than 150 square miles, and they say the weather is preventing crews from getting a handle on it. It's being whipped up by strong winds, and health alerts from all the smoke continue as far away as Albuquerque. Paul Giblin lives there, and he says it's tough not knowing where the wind will drive the fire.
The old saying, you know, that people complain about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. So, you know, that's about the way it stands.
Giblin spoke to KRQE-TV. He says he's surprised by all the smoke in the region. Memorial Day weekend is the traditional start of the summer travel season. And as NPR's Asma Khalid reports, it looks like it's going to be a busy summer.
Some 30.7 million people are projected to be on the road this weekend. That's 400,000 more than last year. Cynthia Brew is with the Auto Club AAA.
So the fact that we see increases in travel is very encouraging for the summer vacation season. And if gas prices stay low or continue to fall, that will actually be an added incentive for people to go out there and take their summer vacations.
Despite the surge, the total number of people traveling this weekend is still far lower than it was before the recession. Guess that's good news for those worried about traffic. Asma Khalid, NPR News.
A subtropical storm system could make travel difficult in the southeast. The system, named Beryl, is expected to roll in later tonight and generate dangerous surf and drop as much as 1/2 foot of rain from northeast Florida through the Carolinas. One official says he expects it to amount to a 3-day thunderstorm. This is NPR. In San Francisco today,
the work is completed. The bridge that pessimists said could not be built
has been built.
That's an excerpt of a newsreel from 1937 announcing the opening of the iconic Golden Gate Bridge. Tens of thousands are expected to jam San Francisco's waterfront today to mark the bridge's 75th anniversary. California Historical Society Executive Director Anthea Hartig says posing in front of the bridge has become a must for tourists.
The most common photo taken, it's right there at the base on the south entrance to the bridge where you stand with your family and you get your picture taken, right? Because it's like you in front of the pyramids or you in front of the Taj Mahal.
Next weekend, Britain celebrates Queen Elizabeth's 60 years on the throne with her Diamond Jubilee. And as Larry Miller reports from London, it comes at a time when the royals are enjoying their most support in 15 years.
More than two-thirds of British say the country would be worse off without the royal family. When Princess Diana died in 1997, that figure was just 48%, and there were questions about whether the monarchy was an anachronism. Now just 10% surveyed by The Guardian want to rein on the Queen's reign and abolish the monarchy. After Elizabeth dies or abdicates, 39% say Prince Charles should be the man who would be king, while 48% want the crown passed to his son, the newly married, more trendy Prince William. Royal fever is running high before next weekend's celebrations. On the downside, the Bank of England says it's likely the 4 days without productivity will keep Britain in recession. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Carnegie Corporation of New York, a foundation created to do what Andrew Carnegie called real and permanent good, celebrating 100 years of philanthropy.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in San Francisco comes from the good folks at KQED FM and the Intercontinental Mark Hopkins Hotel. Historic elegance in the heart of San Francisco. On the web at intercontinentalhotels.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. From the stage of the Canbar Theater at the Jewish Community Center in San Francisco, California, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's a misdirected intellect tossed in a squall of uncertainty, Tony Khan. She's an untapped natural resource, the most resourceful of us all, Francine Akbar. And he's a paragon of virtue, a model citizen, one thoroughly steadfast palooka, Mr. Barry Nolan. Who's going to take up the mantle this week?
The palooka.
Mr. Nolan will be the captain. To my left, team two, he's mellowing with age and will be overripe before you know it. Arnie Reisman. She's full in the flower of youth, a blooming sight for sore eyes, Carolyn Faye Fox. And she has the assurance of wisdom, the glow of confidence, and the gray convertible currently parked in the loading zone, Miss Paula Lyons. Who's going to step up?
Mr. Mellow.
No.
The Paula will lead with the top down. Yeah.
Paula will lead. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin a round of definitions and derivations. For 5 points, define, and for an additional 5, try to divine the origins of the following common words and phrases. Carolyn, egg on one's face.
Egg on one's face is to be embarrassed, mortified.
Runny.
Yes. But tasty. But tasty, yes. The
The point of the yoke.
Yes. To be in. To be embarrassed, especially as a result of having done something foolish.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Egg on one's face.
Yes.
Where do you think this might come from?
Vaudeville?
A lot of people think that. It doesn't. It comes from way before.
Way before.
Well, not way before. Right.
Ancient Grecian vaudeville.
No.
Human
we were discussing the Ice Age on the way over. It's not that far.
No, it's not that far. Well, first of all, is there like a literal version of this that anybody that really has not bothered to feel that they've got something on their face and is therefore embarrassing themselves?
This is not about egg on a person's face.
Egg on a chicken's face. You were supposed to give me that egg.
So is this a literary reference?
No, it is not.
It's not.
It's not about
really
egg.
Is it a barnyard reference?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so reference. Who comes after the chickens? The little wolves or the coyotes?
Okay.
Foxes.
Predators would come in
skunks.
And get egg on their face because they'd be raiding the nest. Yeah.
You know what? That's 10 points. Very good. You got it with the clue. Nice job. It's not from bad actors getting egged. It's not from bad table manners. It's how 17th century English farmers could tell when that stupid dog had been in the chicken coop again.
Oh,
we got a new. What do you know?
Okay.
Tony, try this one. Definition and derivation of on one's last legs.
Well, that's when you're, after a very long journey to accomplish something, you are within sight of accomplishing it, but you may not have the strength to do it.
That's very good. That's 5 points.
Last, on one's last. Does it have anything to do with someone who really had only one leg?
Would it have to do with some enterprise where you used more than one horse?
No. I don't want to throw you.
Could it be a misspelling of on one's last eggs?
It could be, but it isn't. So we'll go elsewhere.
Last legs. It happened to do with the race.
Yes, it does.
The human race.
No.
A horse race.
One of those things where you pass the baton.
Yes,
that's... A relay race.
You know something? That's exactly what it is. 10 points. Very good. It means, of course, yes.
Thank you, Robbie. Thank you very much.
It means, of course, to be near the end, close to giving out, and it's from 13th century England. Goes all the way back. The legs referred to are the last legs of a race, meaning near the end, and that's where that comes from. Try this one, Arnie. Love this. Definition and derivation of hobby.
Hobby?
H-O-B-B-Y, hobby.
That's the word they came out before the word excuse.
It's good to be.
Hobby.
Well, you can define it, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, it's an avocation. It's something you supposedly do in your spare time.
Because you love it.
Because you love doing it. It's a passion that has nothing to do with the rest of your life, except when it takes it over.
Exactly.
And,
like hoarding. Yeah.
But what would be the derivation of hobby?
Hobby. Well, did hobby horse come out before hobby?
You know something? I cannot believe he got this.
Okay.
It is from Hobby Horse. Can you imagine why that might be?
Because a hobby horse is not a real horse, and a hobby is not a real profession.
Real profession.
You know what? 10 points. You guys are really... Killing this one today. It is from the Old English hobben, meaning a small horse or pony, and it comes from 16th century hobby horses. Beautiful wooden creations that didn't particularly go anywhere, but were a lot of fun.
Yes.
And that's where the hobby, it comes from the hobby horse.
Right.
Very good.
Right.
Try this one, Francine.
Oh, career horse. Where's the child? I don't know. He's on the career
Francine, try this one. Definition and derivation of at one's beck and call.
Well, it means to be readily available.
Yes, it does. At one's instant disposal.
And what does
Beckon.
Beckon is part of it, yes.
Beckon call.
There would be servants that were stationed nearby so that they could simply observe if you gave them a little snap, a little nod of the head. We need something done.
You know something? I got to give you the credit. It's not...
Wow.
It's not exactly servants. This comes from the church, actually. This comes from... it has an ecclesiastical background, and it was to summon the altar boys to the altar. It was the beck and call. Oh. It was the small gesture made by the priest. All right, try this one, Paula. Definition and derivation of to 86 something.
Oh. Well, to 86 something, I mean, especially in a bar, means to shut somebody off. I mean, to put an end to something. That's to 86.
Yes.
But I always thought it came from bar rooms. No, it comes from newspaper editing, doesn't it?
No, it comes... You are absolutely right.
It comes from bar rooms?
It comes from a particular bar room.
Yes. The 86 room.
Yeah. 1780. Oh, no, that was the 1789 club in Washington, D.C. Yeah. Is there a 1786 club somewhere?
No, there isn't. It is, the definition again is...
to put an end to. To shut someone off.
To throw away, to get rid of something, discontinue something.
Yes.
And often applies to a bar. Yes, it does. And there are many derivations of this, but there are two in particular that we like.
Was it a reference to 86 proof or anything like that?
That's a great guess. You're going to get a lot of points for this. Anybody else want to take a shot at this?
Anything to do with normal temperature of a human being when you reach 86?
You'd be dead.
You'd be dead.
Yeah, it's blood pressure.
Right. I'm going to give you 8 points because this is a very esoteric derivation.
No clues?
Well, if you take the number 89...
Well, wait a minute. I believe it's our turn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Well, it has to do very much with the state of New York.
Oh, there are 86...
pubs on one
get
block.
Get your kicks on. Bar 86.
Counties?
No? Does anybody in the audience know this? It's pretty apocryphal, but we'll figure it all out. Oh. There are two derivations that we really liked. First, one says that it's from Article 86 of the New York State Liquor Code, which defines when bar patrons should be refused service.
Oh.
But the one I just love is that it was the 86th item on Delmonico's menu, the house steak. And they were always out of it. So if anyone can confirm or deny, those are the two derivations
and
we love.
Those are pretty esoteric.
Yes, to think it wasn't on the tip of our tongue.
Yes, right. But you got 8 points. You got eight points for that. And try this one, Barry. Definition and derivation of beyond the pale.
Beyond the pale means something that is so extreme or so far out as to not be acceptable. And pails were actually stakes that were put out to show the boundary of places where people were permitted to go. It was often used in the Jewish ghettos to show that you cannot go beyond this stake. You are confined to here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Barry Nolan, 10 points. That's exactly right.
Really?
That is exactly right. Round two is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Nice Guy Trio. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Paula, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Barry's team. 10 points up for grabs to Barry if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Paula, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word frickle. F-R-I-C-K-L-E, frickle. Gentlemen. Richard, I just want to take a moment and thank all the folks who joined the fun with us this year and sold out shows from coast to coast. Details for next season's tapings will be up soon on the website at sayu.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Where if you just follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So whether you're in Nashville or New England, North or South, we hope you'll be able to come be in our audience next season for a live performance of Says You. Says You returns after this from home.
On the next On Being, a new way of thinking about revenge and forgiveness. Clinical psychologist Michael McCullough says they are both part of the birthright of the human species. And he's learning how the psychology and biology of forgiveness can apply to a noisy neighbor or to Joseph Kony in Uganda. I'm Krista Tippett. Please join me. That's from APM.
Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock.
Next time on The World, checking in with a veteran who came back from Iraq in pretty good shape. He was wounded, but did not apply for a Purple Heart.
Turns out that some guy in the Abu Ghraib section of Baghdad fired his pistol. It came through the city, over the berm, into the base, and into my backside.
One veteran tells his story next time on The World.
Weeknights at 9 o'clock.
Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high quality copies available. Trio. That is Rob Reich on the accordion, Darren Johnston on the trumpet, and by popular request, Daniel Fabricant on the bowed bass. Thank you very much, Daniel. We have had a few moments with the word frickle. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
A frickle is an age spot.
I was afraid of that.
No. Actually, in keeping with our theme of vegetables and fruits, a frickle is a bushel basket.
A bushel basket.
Yes.
That's it?
The first step in turning cukes into pickles is to gather them carefully in a couple of frickles.
Okay. Well, I almost stepped on that one, didn't I?
Yeah,
sorry about
never
that.
Know.
A bushel basket is a frickle. Could be that, or it could be something else. Arnie, what do you say?
Well, I first thought it was a teeny tiny museum in New York, but actually... It must come from some colorful underworld slang, because it's a verb that means to pilfer a small amount or something of little value. A waste of criminal time.
To pilfer something small is to frickle.
To frickle.
It could be. Sounds logical. But it could be something else. Paula, what's your take?
I think it's really used like to be in a frickle. Because be in a frickle means to be unable to think clearly.
Unable to think clearly.
Right.
Is to be in a frickle. could be. It could be unable to... So I'm having trouble thinking clearly now. It could be unable to think clearly. It could be to pilfer something small, or it could be a bushel basket. One thing is certain, it's one of those three, and the choice, Barry, is yours.
Well, team, any initial thoughts on Frickle? Take it, Tony.
No, actually, I had some thoughts about leaving now.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I anticipated your question.
Sorry.
I think if it was a bushel basket, it would be a bushel basket.
But there's that thing, a tisket, a tasket, a green and yellow basket. Is a tisket a real word? If so, maybe it's related to the Frickle.
That was a big help.
So how about being unable to think clearly? Would that do it for you?
So, Francine, do you have a preference here?
I would be naturally inclined to pilfer something of small value.
I know that about you. Yes, that's.
Are you frickling
it has been
me?
So
that would be just my inclination.
So, given that, I think it's probably the basket.
There they are.
A Frickle.
Can we agree that...
If that's your wish.
This is the lottery. We'll take Carolyn to win.
Well, truth is stranger than Frickle. It's a bushel basket.
Yes, it is.
10 points.
Thereby confirming that poem still doesn't mean anything. A tisket and a tasket.
I just out of curiosity, with your applause, how many of you knew that a Frickle or thought that a Frickle was a bushel basket? Oh, wow. So most of the audience didn't. That's
I tell you, Richard, all the words are gone. You know?
All the words are gone. Yes,
but I find this to be an unusually honest audience, the fact that so few people would lie about knowing it. It's impressive.
You didn't ask them before. All right.
Let's go on to round three. And I'm going to ask this audience, should I lead with the standard fare or should I lead with the despicable and ugly one?
Despicable and
okay,
ugly
the
one.
People have spoken.
Nice, Richard.
Yes, well.
May I remind you, we all have full water pitchers.
We are in California on Earth Day. The state that produces more than half of all the fruits and vegetables we eat. We acknowledge that contribution in Says You style with a round of veritable vegetables. Oh. From the following puns, clues, and ridiculous references, please tell me the vegetable I have in mind.
Rutabaga. Oh, okay.
An example possesses hydrogen and helium is has pair of gas, asparagus.
Oh, please.
I think I left the decision in your hands, as I recall. Try this one, Carolyn.
That's more than ugly. Okay.
Vegetable brought to mind by the clue vehicular disintegration.
Vehicular disintegration. Exploding kohlrabi.
Car rat. Carrot.
Carrot. Ah.
Is exactly
great.
Right. 10 points. Great. Good job, Arnie. Vehicular disintegration.
I'm quitting now, by the way.
Yeah. That's car rot, carrot. Yes, very good. Try this one, Tony.
Okay.
Vegetable brought to mind by the clue taxi usage.
Taxi usage.
Oh, shh.
Everybody quiet.
We know you know it out there. We know.
That one's pretty straightforward.
The only vegetable I know that begins with cab ends with udge.
Cabbage.
So cabbage.
Cabbage is right. Well, I'm getting you into it. I'm bringing you into it. Cabbage is taxi usage. All right. You know, I could make these really nasty if I wanted to.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Sure.
There's a couple of them in here that are ugly. But
yeah,
I'll
get them over with.
Yeah, before they get to you, right?
Yeah.
You're the one that's going to get booed anyway.
That's right. And you say that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah. You'll take any kind of whatever. Right. Yes.
Reaction. Try this one, Arnie. Vegetable brought to mind by the clue Garfinkel failure.
Garfinkel?
Garfinkel failure.
Artichoke. I don't
know. Artichoke is right.
Yeah.
Would you...
Well, you got your art, Garfunkel.
You do. Artichoke, yes. Yeah, a Garfunkel failure would be an artichoke, yes. No, try this one, Francine.
Chokes.
Vegetable brought to mind by Johann Elation.
Elation?
Johann?
Johann, J-O-H-A-N-N. Yeah. Johann Elation.
Elation.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Bok choy.
There you go.
Bok joy is correct. Bok choy.
That was cute.
That was cute.
Yeah, I think I might have made these a little too easy. I don't know.
It's great with Beethoven.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guarantee you these last two are just plain ugly, so try this one, Paula. Anglican cleric's short sip.
Anglican clerics. What do you call an Anglican
cleric? Anglican cleric's short sip. I can almost
miss
short.
So an Anglican cleric is also a priest, right?
Well, short sip?
All righty, short sip. What's a short sip?
A vicar?
Not a vicar. Oh, good.
Parson? Parsnip.
Yes.
Oh. Parsnip is exactly right. An Anglican cleric's short sip is a parson's nip. Yeah. A parsnip. And finally, Barry, if you get this one, I won't believe it. Vegetable brought to mind by the clue, Ottoman leader's 60-minute TV show, perhaps.
Ottoman
leader's 60-minute TV show, perhaps.
Ottoman leader's 60 minutes TV show. Well, Ottoman leader was the Turks, the Ataturk.
Suleiman the Magnificent.
Suleiman?
No.
This
Ottoman
pasha,
leader.
Something to do with
Ottoman.
Not
a pasha.
No, not a pasha. But you're strolling in the right field here. Don't say it out loud. Does anybody in the audience?
Ottoman leader's 60-minute TV show.
Yeah.
Right. Let's go with the Ottoman leader.
No, the
60-minute TV show.
Yeah.
Would be a.
It's kind of a
Got it.
You got it?
Yep. Got it?
Yep.
Oh, a cauliflower.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Cauliflower.
Yes.
Cauliflower.
Oh, cauliflower.
Boy.
Cauliflower.
Tony almost broke his glasses on that one. That was Ottoman leader's 60-minute TV show is the Caliph Hour. Yes, the cauliflower. And that puts an end to the round, veritable vegetables. Thank you very much.
Hey.
Yeah, so this week's Spotlight Round comes at the request of Anna Williams of Lexington, Kentucky. Anna writes, my favorite round of all time was the one where Arnie knew who Arthur Flegenheimer was. As a very distant, distant relative of Mr. Flegenheimer, I'd love to hear that moment replayed. Can you find it? It was a long time ago. Well, we did find it, Anna. It was back in season 2. When Robin Young and Lenore Shannon joined us for a round of Common Threads. For 10 points, please tell me the common thread connecting each member of the following lists. Robin?
Mm-hmm.
Chessie, Nessie, Champ, and Manapoga.
What?
Chessie?
Chessie, Nessie. Chessie, Nessie, N-E-S-S-I-E, Champ, C-H-A-M-P, and Manapoga. M-A-N-I-P-O-G-A.
Tell Barry to put his hand down. I'm not ready yet.
Nessie, Champ.
One of those names should help you out.
Nessie, Champ.
I know. Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster. So they're.
That's the way to go.
Okay, we got the Loch Ness Monster and Nessie. These are all mythical creatures. No.
They are indeed all mythical creatures.
Okay.
They're all mythical creatures.
That's it.
Well,
there's an echo in it.
Right. It got there, yes, but yeah. Anything else?
Anything else?
Yeah. They're all...
Are they all underwater?
That's the 10 points.
They're all underwater.
Well struggled. Chessie, Chesapeake Bay, Nessie, Loch Ness, Champ is Lake Champlain.
Really?
I did not know that. And Manapoga, Lake Manitoba. All are aquatic, mythical creatures claimed to be authentic, but currently unavailable for perusal. Tony.
Well, depends on whom you ask.
Yes,
now,
right.
Doesn't it?
No.
What's the common thread? Bufflehead, golden eye, and canvasback.
Bufflehead, that would be a nickel, right?
Golden eye, G-O-L-D-E-N-E-Y-E, and canvasback, C-A-N-V-A-S-B-A-C-K.
Are these all forms of currency that
they are
have
not.
Pictures that's of presidents on them?
No,
or large?
You want to buy a duck?
That's more to the point.
All right, well,
ducks. 10 points from Mr. Nolan.
They're all ducks?
They're all ducks.
All right,
Bufflehead, golden eye, and canvasbacks. They're all bay ducks, incidentally, and
bay
they're
ducks.
All unhyphenated.
All right.
Arnie, I've been looking forward to giving this one to you.
Baydux, isn't it?
What's the common thread? Oh. And it's, you're either going to know this or not.
Well, that's a good choice.
Yeah. Pepper Martin.
Pepper Martin, yep.
Luis Firpo.
Yep.
And William Hickok. P-E-P-P-E-R, Pepper Martin, Luis Firpo, F-I-R-P-O, and yeah. William Hickok, H-I-C-K-O-K.
Okay, yeah, it's Wild Bill Hickok. Pepper Martin, somebody's phone.
Yeah, yes, that's fun.
Pepper Martin played third base with the St. Louis Cardinals, known as the Gas House Gang. Louis Firpo lost to Jack Dempsey in 1923. He was an Argentine fighter. He's called the Wild Bull of the Pampas.
Yeah.
Wow.
William Hickok.
Wild Bill.
It's not really Wild Bill because his name was James Butler Hickok, unless there's a mistake here coming from the host.
I believe you're outthinking this a little.
Yeah, wild.
And I'm so overanalyzing this, I can't see the forest.
Yes,
they're all wild.
They're all wild.
They are all
wild,
in fact. There's 10 points. Very good.
Simple as me.
Excellent job, Miss Lyons.
I don't know any of that information,
wild.
But I could
right
figure it out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Too much thinking.
Too much.
Just Pepper Martin.
Time, right?
Pepper Martin was the wild horse of the Osage.
Yeah.
Luis Firpo was the wild bull of the Pampas, and William Hickok was Wild Bill Hickok.
James Butler.
Wild. Very good. Lenore, try this one. The Arc de Triomphe, Westminster Abbey, and the Arlington National Cemetery. The Arc de Triomphe, Westminster Abbey,
that's true.
And the Arlington National Cemetery.
They're all tombs?
Of unknown, right? Tombs of the unknown.
Tombs of unknown people. So thanks
that's
to
exactly
help from
right. They are all the national homes of the Tomb of the Unknown
Tony,
soldiers.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Paula, here's one that's just plain nasty.
Oh, good.
Wasps, frogs, birds, and clouds.
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
Yes, just hate it.
Put your hand down. You ready to?
Wasps, frogs, birds, and clouds. They all have S's. I mean, what do you mean?
No, they're all plays by Aristophanes. They're all plays by Aristophanes.
Yes.
Don't you just hate it? Don't you just hate it?
Hey, he's a good friend of mine. What do you want?
You know, as they used to say.
No. Not worthy of applause. No.
Don't encourage him.
Gee, Arnie.
And finally, Barry, another nasty. I'm sorry. The wasps, the frogs, the birds, and the clouds are all plays by Aristophanes.
They're all comedies.
They are.
They're all comedies.
Comedies.
Kick around.
All right, Barry, try this one. This is terrible. Arthur Flingenheimer. Norm Van Brocklin and Ronald Reagan.
Oh!
Some sort of herniating experience, I think, for me.
Norm Van Brocklin was a football coach, wasn't he, Arnie?
I'm on the other team, remember?
Yes, sir.
And this must have something to do with the win one for the Gipper.
Did they all play?
No, what a great guess, though. I'm giving him points just for that.
But Ronald Reagan did play football.
These
people played quarterback on
no.
college football.
One was the Gipper, one was a flipper, and the other one was a stripper.
Yeah. The stripper being Arthur Flingenheimer.
After all,
didn't get a lot of work, old Arnie.
Kidheimer.
Yeah. This is a tough one. I think the other side does know.
They're rolling. They know it.
You got Aristophanes. Leave this alone.
Yeah. I shudder to do this, but we do have to go to the other side.
All right.
The common thread is Dutch.
That's correct.
Arthur Flingenheimer is Dutch Schultz.
He is indeed.
Right.
Reagan is Dutch, and Norm Van Brocklin did play football. He's called Dutch.
The Dutchman.
The Dutchman.
He was called the Dutchman. Very good.
Okay.
The common thread being Dutch Nickel.
All right, bring him on.
That's our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's go on to round 4, which is Barry's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word to Will Bluff, 10 points, Paula, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to create a definition for the word contributed by Ed Razmiarek of Beverly, Massachusetts. That word is plumicorn. P-L-U-M-I-C-O-R-N. Plumicorn. Gentlemen? Says you coming to our town? Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at saysyou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. Briefly, Says You pauses. Just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point on Memorial Day, we look at women and combat roles in the U.S. military. Plus, indie pop star Ingrid Michaelson joins us. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11. Support for Says You and WPLN is made possible in part by WPLN listener members. One lucky WPLN listener is going to win a trip for two to Ireland during our summer e-pledge. You can support the program you value on WPLN and enter the drawing now at WPLN.org. The time is 9:42. It's 87 degrees in Nashville.
The Nice Guys Trio. Thank you, gentlemen. This gives us a chance to thank our scorekeepers. Would you help me thank Emily Knopf and Ben Scher? Thank you very much for keeping the score, guys. We've had a few moments with the word plumicorn. We will go first to Tony Khan.
It's a recently discovered season between fall and winter. Discovered in Boston, where if you've been there, you can understand how this would be possible.
Yeah.
Where just about everything grows at the same time. No, it's an Indonesian chili pepper. Not often used, I would imagine. Probably found somewhere between the creme de menthe and the turmeric.
What's your pantry like, Tony?
Yeah, really.
Far too much plumicorn.
Yeah.
And chili pepper.
Indonesian chili pepper is a plumicorn. It could be that. Not particularly likely, but, you know, you never know. Francine, what do you say?
Plumicorn, a scaly white fungus that attacks coniferous trees.
A scaly white fungus.
What does it attack them with?
Fungus.
Scales.
Scaly white fungus. You see it on the evergreen trees. That's the plumicorn. Could be. Or it could be something else. What do you say, Baron?
I know this may sound odd.
Yes.
But plumicorn is actually the ear tuft of an owl. And apparently it is often used in the South, as the substitute for a shaving brush, because I recall seeing those little signs along the roadside where it would say, Need a wondrous way to prep your skin just before it's shorn? Burma Shave, an owl, and Plumicorn.
Well, I don't think anything more needs to be said about that one. The ear tuft of an owl is what that is. It could be that. It could be that scaly white fungus. And the Indonesian chili pepper doesn't sound that bad anymore, does it? Okay. It's one of those three, and the choice is yours, Paula.
Okay, team. This is absurd.
Well, yeah, usually is.
We used to get a scaly white fungus on our coniferous trees, and it was called something else, and I can't remember.
Fred.
Could there be two of those? There could be more than one, I suppose.
I don't think it was called plumicorn.
I don't think it sounds like a fungus.
Well, please, let's not apply logic here. This ear tuft of an owl, as you know, we're always suspicious when Barry has enough time to come up with a complex rhyme.
True enough.
But having pointed that out to him yesterday, he may have done that on purpose.
He may have.
He may have. He
could do that.
It sounds more like some part of an owl than it does some part of a pantry.
Are we going with the owl for the heck of it?
We could go with the owl.
And for the heck of it.
And
wouldn't it just be called an ear tuft?
Wouldn't anything just be called the other thing? I mean,
yes.
Why have a frickle when you can have a basket? That can't be your unit of weight and measure. Well, why would they call it that? I don't know.
Yeah, but Carolyn has good instincts. So do you have a different opinion, Carolyn?
I don't on this one, no.
Go ahead, Paula.
Go ahead, Paula.
All right, we're going with the owl.
Let's go for the tuft.
Who?
Who? Who gives a hoot? Go ahead.
All right, you're going with the owl. Is that what I'm hearing over there?
That's what you're hearing.
All right. Barry, they think that a plumicorn is the ear tuft of an owl. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Plumicorn is the ear tuft of an owl.
Boy.
Was it too much?
Yeah, just killing it.
You know, after 16 years, you've now seen how it's done, both sides.
If that's what plumicorn is, I don't want to know what succotash is.
That's a ski resort.
There you go. Let's close. I'm going to give you four characters from a work of fiction, one at a time. The faster you can tell me what work of fiction, the more points you'll amass. And you also get an additional 2 points if you can tell me the author. Carolyn, try this one. Mr. Nilsson, the monkey.
Mr. Nilsson?
N-I-L-S-S-O-N. Mr. Nilsson, the monkey.
Mr. Nilsson, the monkey.
Yes.
Curious George.
No, what a great guess, though. That's not it. To Mr. Nilsson, the monkey, add Lilla Gubbin, the horse.
Lilla Gubbin.
Oh, I think horse. I heard it in the fourth row back there.
Oh, could it be?
I don't know.
Might as well guess it. Animal Farm.
It is not.
Okay. That was Arnie's guess.
To Mr.
I have egg on my jacket.
To Mr. Nilsson the monkey and Lilla Gubbin the horse, add Annika and Tommy Settegren, the friends next door.
Oh, my God.
I don't think we've read this one. Isn't it?
It certainly is. I don't think they know this one.
A children's book.
How about the children's?
Monkey,
you guys
the horse. It's not the Bobbsey twins. It's not Mrs. Piggle Wiggle.
No, it's not.
It's not Wind in the Willows.
I don't think they know this particular.
I don't think I've ever read this particular book.
All right, then to Mr. Nilsson the monkey, Lilla Gubbin the horse, Annika and Tommy Settegren, add Captain Ephraim Longstocking.
Oh, Pippi Longstocking.
It is. Pippi Longstocking.
I have not read it.
Do you know the author?
Oh, God.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Oh, Stieg Larsson.
No, stop. No, it was a woman. And
yes,
she's got
it was.
A Swedish name.
Yes,
she does.
Well, you get 2 points for Pippi Longstocking, yes. And you don't
Sven
get...
Sven Short Shoe.
Yeah,
Astrid Lindgren.
All right, try this one, Tony. We'll make it hard. Willem and Franz, the policeman.
Willem and Franz, the policeman.
Oh, this is a hard category. Willem and Franz, policeman.
Die Miserablen.
No, that's not it.
Nine? Okay.
To Willem and Franz, policeman, add Herr Huld, the lawyer.
Herr Huld?
Yes, H-U-L-D.
This wouldn't be the Magic Mountain?
It would. Oh, that's another good
Thomas
guess.
No,
no, it isn't. To Willem and Franz, policeman, and Herr Huld, the lawyer, add the instruction judge.
Oh, the instruction
judge. Oh, boy, this is a tough one. This is a very tough category.
Pilates in... in amber.
Yes.
Pilates in amber.
Right.
That sounds
Pilates
good.
Of the Caribbean.
Pilates
yes,
of the Caribbean.
I like it.
This sounds like Kafka.
You know,
sell
that.
Oh, this must be the prisoner.
It's not...
The trial.
The trial. It is the trial. Very good.
Anybody had a name.
You got 2 points for Kafka and 4 points for that, 6 points total.
So what's the last one, Joseph
K? The last one was Joseph K, yeah.
Yeah.
So very good, Tony. That's 6 points total for that. Try this one, Arnie. District Attorney Abe Weiss. We start out hard and we get a little low. Huh.
Yeah, and you get harder.
And you get hurt, that's right. Yeah.
Something by Dashiell Hammett?
It is not. To District Attorney Abe Weiss, add Maria Ruskin.
Maria Ruskin.
Oh, his head is in his hands, ladies and gentlemen. We know this posture. We've seen this before.
Oh, boy.
It's on the tip of his tongue and he can't do it. District Attorney Abe Weiss and Maria Ruskin, add Peter Fallow.
Peter Fallow?
Yes.
F-A-L-L-O-W?
Yes.
Any hints, guys? Anything?
Oh,
not a thing.
May not be familiar with this one. To District Attorney Abe Weiss, Maria Ruskin, and Peter Fallow, add Sherman McCoy.
Big help.
Oh,
now the head is in both hands,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
And I'm going to be very embarrassed.
Oh, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Audience?
Bonfire
of the Vanities.
Oh.
You do get a shot at the author.
Tom Wolfe.
That's yeah. You get 2 points for the author is Tom
wow.
Wolfe.
Boy.
Very good.
Sherman McCoy.
It's a tough category.
Yeah. Now, we read that one about 25 years ago when it came out, you know.
But who's counting?
Yeah.
Who's counting?
Francine, try this one.
The title.
Bullseye, the dog.
Yeah,
keep going.
Isn't that
to Bullseye, the dog, add... Mr. Bumble.
This is... Is this Dickens?
It is, in fact, Dickens.
The Bullseye the dog would be the guy... Moore. Could I have some more, please? Oliver Twist.
Oliver Twist. Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry.
Yes.
That is right. So that's a total of, 8 points for that. Very good.
Now,
give me
an easy one.
All right. Well, I don't know if this is easy or not, but give it a shot, Paula. Heywood Floyd.
Are you kidding? Heywood Floyd. Is that why you named our dog Floyd?
No.
Oh.
Not in the least.
Okay. Next.
To Heywood Floyd, add Frank Poole, P-O-O-L-E. I know you'll get this at the end.
Is this Frank Raymond Chandler? Poole.
It is not.
No.
We've gone to Raymond Chandler a couple times here.
Is it a mystery?
No. Well, no, it's not a mystery.
The audience disagrees with you.
Yeah.
Well, everything's a mystery in this category.
I don't think they're going to get it. To Heywood Floyd and Frank Poole, add David Bowman.
David Bowman.
I know you'll get it on the last one.
Oh, you do, do you? Well, then why didn't you put that one first?
How come I don't remember?
I don't know.
How come I... It's funny that you don't remember any of the other characters in the book, though.
Yeah.
And to Heywood Floyd, Frank Poole, and David Bowman, add Hal 9000.
Oh, really? For goodness sake.
2001, Arthur C. Clarke.
Arthur C. Clarke is exactly right. So you get 4 points for that one.
Heywood Floyd. Dave is the only one.
Dave, I can't do that, Dave.
And finally, Barry, try this one. Lee Chong, the store owner.
Is it Raymond Chandler?
It is not Raymond Chandler. Didn't go there.
Lee Chong, it's not how green is my valley.
It isn't.
What?
No. What's? I'm
yes,
sorry.
I
no,
believe
no, no,
that
no,
is
no,
a
no.
Welsh name.
The one that's set in China. The
Good Earth?
Good Earth, yeah.
No, not the Good Earth.
Yeah.
Okay. Pearl Buck.
To Lee Chung, the store owner, add Mac the Vagrant. Ooh,
Mac the Vagrant? Oh, is this Cannery Row?
By?
John Steinbeck.
That's
John.
8 points. Very good. Nice job.
Good.
You didn't need Dora Flood, you didn't need Doc, and I'll tell you something, on a very, very tough day, you scored 94 points, and almost any week, that's a winning total. Congratulations to Barry's team. Nice job.
Thank you very much.
That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Joanne Wallace, Robin Smith, and all the good folks at KQED-FM here in San Francisco. And our great thanks to Lenore Naxon, Geese Graphics, Jordan Shapiro, and all the folks at the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco. Schur and Salkin write the words. Antonio Oliart mans the meters. And Zach Moore is hard at work and soon to graduate. So long today from the Golden State, where it's illegal to trip a horse, and you can get called in for possessing bear gallbladders. Again, what problem arose that necessitated? That's what it's like out here in California, and we'll see you all next week. Support for Seju in San Francisco comes from the good folks at KQED-FM and the Intercontinental Mark Hopkins Hotel, historic elegance in the heart of San Francisco. On the web at intercontinentalhotels.com. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Seju, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
You've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org.
The Metro Emergency Communications Center reminds you that 911 is for life-threatening emergencies only. If you call 911 by mistake, never hang up. All hang-up calls must be returned, which ties up 911 resources. To avoid calling by accident, lock your cell phone keypad and never store 911 on speed dial. In Davidson County, 862-8600 is the number to call for non-emergencies.
Chris Farris earned 7 Bronze Stars while serving with the Army's elite Delta Force. His wife told USA Today that combat, emotional distance, and all that time away nearly destroyed their marriage.
You teach them how to be soldiers, but how do you be a father and how do you be a husband?
I'm Neil Conan. Lessons from a Military Marriage. Chris and Lisa Farris join us Memorial Day on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 1 until 3.
Join WPLN online for comprehensive election coverage throughout this election season. We're partnering with the Associated Press to bring you the latest news from the presidential race, including tracking fundraising, video from campaign ads, fact-checking, and much more. Plus, you'll find detailed coverage of the Tennessee elections with real-time primary results and county-by-county voting totals, along with election stories produced here at WPLN. For complete election coverage anytime, visit WPLN.org.
Nashville weather today.